a discussion about the weekend deal to avoid a government shutdown. Today, October 2nd, 2023. Good morning, early birds. I'm Jonathan Lehrfeld, and this is the Early Bird Brief, produced by Defense News and Military Times. We're in the first days of a new fiscal year, but it was almost an abnormal Monday for a lot of federal workers. Today, Federal Times reporter Molly Weisner joins the pod to discuss what preventing a government shutdown means for the federal workforce, including those at the Department of Defense. So what happened over the weekend that allowed for avoiding a government shutdown? What ended up getting passed, and also what didn't make the cut?
Yeah, so it was a very up-to-the-minute weekend. Most of Saturday, I think things looked pretty strongly like there would be a shutdown. But late Saturday, just hours before the deadline, both the House and the Senate were able to pass a temporary spending measure called a stopgap bill or a continuing resolution that basically allows federal agencies to keep open. They'll remain funded at the levels that they were in 2023. So it's not like all of the agencies were given a full boost for the new fiscal year. It's kind of just keeping things steady until middle of November, which is when Congress will again have a deadline to pass a long-term spending bill. And so what happened up to this point, you know, House Republicans had tried to pass a measure that would have pretty severely cut non-defense spending and also tackle some immigration policies. There were some fits and starts. What we are ultimately looking at now is a continuing resolution that, again, keeps a lot of agencies steady. But one thing to note is that Ukraine aid did not make the cut. That was something that sort of had to get pulled in order for this all to come together at the end.
It was definitely a busy weekend. I know at one point there was an incident in which Representative Jamal Bowman from New York even pulled a fire alarm. I think he said in a statement that it was a mistake, but there have also been accusations from folks like Speaker Kevin McCarthy suggesting that he did it on purpose. And I know AP's reporting, the Capitol Police said they were investigating the incident, but in general, there was just a lot going on. It's important to understand what a government shutdown is to begin with and why this could have been an issue. So can you maybe explain to listeners what a government shutdown even is?
Yeah, absolutely. So for those in the know, those who work in DC or have for quite some time, know that the threat of a government shutdown is an almost annual affair. Congress, we know, has to pass 12 appropriations bills in order to pass ultimately a full year spending package. And so when that doesn't happen by the last day of the current fiscal year, which was, again, Saturday at midnight, then we enter a situation where if there isn't some kind of temporary measure like a stopgap or a CR, the government shuts down. It basically means that agencies do not have the money to keep a lot of their programs open. That also means that, you know, potentially hundreds of thousands of federal employees would have been either furloughed or forced to work without a paycheck until a deal is reached. Service members, too, would have been required to keep working with a delayed paycheck. And it just brings a lot of agency operations to a halt. Essential things related to national security, related to the protection of life and property would continue. But again, other things, contracts would forced to be paused, essentially. And again, it just is basically one big delayed start to a fiscal year when a lot of agencies are trying to move forward on things like hiring or IT modernization projects and things of that nature.
Sure. No, that's very informative. Thank you. Let's talk more about what a government shutdown would have meant for federal employees, including civilians within the Department of Defense, and what it would mean in the coming weeks and months if they don't continue to pass the funding that they need to.
Yeah, that's a good point, because again, we're looking at just a temporary fix right now. You know, the problem that we were faced with over the weekend and in the weeks leading up to it has not entirely been resolved. So again, the federal workforce would have been facing questions of what people can continue to work, what people will be sent home and forced to wait it out. You know, each agency, even up to Friday and really the last week of September, was updating their contingency plans, which would lay out, you know, what do we do? Which offices would have to close because they wouldn't have funding? So it's important to note, too, that that takes a lot of time and energy and resources away from agencies that should be focusing on their day-to-day operations, their public services, And instead, they're having to devote time and staff to planning for a shutdown that ultimately didn't happen. But again, it was still very disruptive. So I think a lot of agencies are feeling maybe perhaps relief, but certainly it's not like this didn't kind of knock the wind out of everybody's sails a little bit. You know, other things related to federal employees would have continued, but would have just sort of been on pause. You know, benefits would have continued for them, but they wouldn't have paid into those premiums until a deal is reached. So, you know, again, essential things there wouldn't have gone away. It just, again, everything sort of gets pushed down the line.
Sure. Any more you can share on how government shutdowns impact things like federal government benefits and also pay?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, the big question about pay is folks are going to get paid, you know, thanks to a federal law that was passed after the last shutdown, which is the longest on record. It was over 30 days long in 2018, 2019. That federal law guaranteed that civil servants would receive back pay once the shutdown is over. So the problem with that, though, is it's little consolation to folks that still have bills to pay during a shutdown, right? You know, and again, that law does not say when the back pay has to come. It's really an open question. So sort of leaving that pay still to the mercy of Congress as to, you know, how quickly are they able to reach a deal on something like this. You know, the other thing too is credit unions that work with federal employees and service members, you know, they're used to this kind of thing. So they too were rolling out low cost or no cost loans to folks in anticipation of people needing to stretch their dollars a little more to cover bills while there's a shutdown. So I don't think it can be overstated that in addition to being an operational headache, this is anxiety inducing for some feds, especially those who are newer, those who are on the lower end of the general schedule who aren't making as much. It really does have an impact.
Certainly. I think our audience would also be interested in hearing more about distinguishing how a government shutdown could have impacted service members differently.
Yeah, absolutely. So when you think of, you know, operations that would have been accepted from a shutdown, in other words, they would have been essential, you think of folks who are protecting our nation, you know, at home and abroad. So service members scattered across the country would have had to keep working. But again, they would not see a paycheck until a deal is reached. They have families to take care of. You know, again, life doesn't stop just because there isn't money coming out of Congress. So certainly that's something else that's a big concern. And that's a huge population. You know, on top of the 2.2 million or so federal employees, you know, there are also millions of service members who would have been impacted by this. And again, they're facing a lot of the same anxieties that the rest of the workforce is, and the contracting workforce too. You know, one thing to distinguish there is the impact on them is, I think, less well known because there's just not as much data on how many of them there are, what kind of work they're doing. But one thing is for sure, they do not receive back pay. So contracting companies, whether you're big or small, would have to weather this out for themselves without any restitution. And that is a difficult thing if you're a small business and you may not have the reserve funds to continue to pay your people while you can't work. So certainly those folks feel this as well.
Are there other common myths you can break down about a government shutdown?
Yeah. So one thing to remember is that a government shutdown implies the idea that, you know, government just like ceases existing for a period of time. And again, that goes back to the fact that some services would continue. So you can think of, you know, folks who work in the intel space, TSA officers, air traffic controllers. It's important to remember that some agencies too don't get funding from Congress. Think of the Postal Service, for example. They make all of their money off of the postal products that they sell to the public. So there would be some things that would continue during a shutdown. I think another thing too to remind folks of is that many of us, I would imagine, are applauding, you know, the fact that Congress was able to reach a temporary deal. But it's important to remember that we are still starting a new fiscal year without a full budget. And so when you think of agencies, part of the work that they need to do in their budgeting is long-term planning. You know, they are really now unable to know for sure what kind of money they're starting the fiscal year out with. And that makes it difficult to know if they're going to be able to fund projects in the long term. And I think the other side of that too is that a stopgap, a continuing resolution really just kicks the can down the road. So while it's, I think, very good news that we are not facing a shutdown, you know, today, basically, to start the work week, the work is also not done.
What does this all mean for the Fat Bear Week?
Yes. So this is what I'm talking about. You know, agencies have lots of functions outside of their just day-to-day operations that help them connect with the public, that help them do public outreach, that help them tell the story of what they do. And so it's things like that that, you know, maybe you could argue aren't critical functions, but they certainly do serve a purpose. And so I had the pleasure of speaking with some park rangers, current and former, last week about what all goes into that and how it really does connect people with the public. And voting starts October 4th. We know that if the government had shut down, Fat Bear Week would have been one of the first things to go. So I hope there's some good news for folks who are looking forward to that.
Are we going to be going through all of this again in a matter of weeks? Anything that you might be able to share with listeners who, again, are looking towards the future?
Yeah, absolutely. So again, the key word I think in all of this is this is a temporary solution. You know, the bill that was passed late Saturday funds the government through November 17th. So that buys Congress some time to hash out all of the other details and to pass a full suite of appropriations bills. You know, the question is still very much open about whether it's going to be able to do that. And I think another thing that sort of complicates some of this is we have seen that House Speaker Kevin McCarthy has basically been threatened by some members of his party that he would be ousted. And, you know, according to reporting on Sunday, he says he'll survive. But I think you could see some of this tension creating perhaps a bit of a shakeup leadership-wise within the House, and how that would affect budget negotiations and, you know, the rest of Congress's operations, I think, is anyone's guess. But certainly that's something that I think adds a layer of complexity to what's going on.
That's it for us this morning. To get more of the top stories and breaking news, go to defensenews.com/EBB to subscribe to the Early Bird Brief newsletter. Please give us a like, rating, and a comment wherever you get your podcasts. And be sure to follow us on social media at @defense_news and @MilitaryTimes. The Early Bird Brief is hosted by me, Jonathan Lehrfeld, and produced by Zimone Z. Perez. If you enjoyed our conversation today, be sure to check out Molly's work at federaltimes.com. Our editor-in-chief is Mike Gruss. Have a great day.